Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wondering what's next in your business or personal life? Welcome to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, a podcast dedicated to helping you with all of life's challenges, discoveries, and opportunities. Whether you're seeking a new career, retirement, or simply wanting to make an impact in your community or the world, join Jen Duplessis and her guests as they explore how to start, what to do when you're in the thick of a change or growth, and how to leave a mark in this world after breaking through your next achievement. You are moments away from the aha you've been seeking.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings. I am so delighted that you have joined us today, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, whether you're riding a bike or sitting on the porch listening to us. It means so much to us. And today's guest, I am excited to tell you about Ilona. And you know, one of the things that I know about Ilona is that we are both authors. We are both using the same publishing company for a couple of our books. And I had the wonderful opportunity to meet her when we were both in Dallas with Michael D. Butler, who is the owner and CEO of Beyond Publishing. And so there you go, Michael. I gave you a little push here as well, because I know he'll be listening to this podcast. So Ilona, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I had such a great time with you already before the show.
I know in the green room, we were yik-yakking and, you know, and thank you so much for having me on your podcast as well. So this is, you know, my gift back to you, but let me introduce you just for a quick second here so that everyone knows who you are. Ilona is a 10x, 10-time best-selling author of diversity and inclusion expert and speaker. She's the president and CEO of IP Resilience Global, which we're going to have to figure out what that is, publisher of IP Resilience Global magazine, and Ilona TV producer and host. She is a direct descendant of the Armenian genocide survivors from World War I and survived the wartime in the Republic of Georgia right after the collapse of the USSR. Over the years, Ilona has succeeded in turning her disparities from war, losses, and struggles to fit in every no in her life, which you and I are going to talk about, into her superpowers. She rose above all the odds and became a graduate for a doctorate degree in family Christian counseling and her PhD in Christian philosophy. As a master coach, she empowers people to find their voice, even in the darkest of their times of their lives, and imparts courage and self-confidence so that they too can experience liberty in all of its best. She's an international TEDx speaker and has been featured in Fox on Fox, NBC, CBC, Influensive, Powerhouse, and Forbes magazine. She introduces herself I love this, by the way, when I read it. She introduces herself unapologetically as God's masterpiece and puts God as the CEO of her life, which is very near and dear to me. So again, welcome to the show, Ilona. I'm so delighted to have you.
Thank you for such an amazing introduction, Jen. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I want to kind of dig into this, you know, talking about, it's kind of along the lines of resilience too, right? And, you know, for my listeners, they know that my, you know, I'm a producer of my TV show as well, and it's called Tell Me I Can't, which I love when you say, don't tell me no, right? Because the whole show is about, don't tell me I can't. I'm going to persevere, you know, through this. So I know one of the topics that you like to talk about is mastering your circumstances and how to overcome them. So share with us a little bit about your history and what you've overcome and how you, you know, it's brought you to the point that you are here today.
You know, like you hear this story, you know, when you grow up and you realize what happened to you when you were growing up as a child. But as a child, I was rejected because I was the firstborn and my dad wanted the boy, not the girl. My grandparents also rejected me because my mom is Ukrainian. My dad is Armenian. So I didn't look nothing like Armenians. Therefore, they never included me as the package deal, as the family member, because they were embarrassed of me showing me off as a blonde girl, blue eyes, and a light skin, because Armenians don't have that. It's a different features, but right? That
yet they made you.
yes, and it was. And even as I was growing up, and then when I had to receive my Christian name in Armenian church, the priest refused to give me name because he had a doubt that I was Armenian. So I had to speak with him in Armenian. My dad had to convince him that that's my daughter. You have to give her name. And even though I didn't look nothing like them, he gave the name to all of my siblings and my cousins and skips me. He makes the angry face and he barely, through his teeth, he gives me the name. And the name that he gave me was like through his teeth, Light. Your name is Light, with the anger. What he didn't realize that he prophetically spoke into my life, because I became that light in people's life that they were looking for. And I've been rejected from the universities because I had the Russian last name, which is Parunakova. It's hard to spell and pronounce.
Right.
And doctors told me that I cannot run and do anything with my feet or legs. So just be careful. And my family, you know, my relatives called me ugly. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I had to hear, listen. But the biggest thing that I have discovered, that it's all about the voices that you hear. Those 90% or 99% of the voices got overshadowed by the voice of my mom, who was always said, Ilona, forgive those who have hurt you or right. wronged you. That's not our job to pay back to them. That's God's job. All you need to do is just, you need to realize who you are, and you need to not to listen to everything that is around you. And that's like tiny, tiny voice. I was, you know, when your mom says something to you, you're like, oh, your mom, of course you're going to say that to me.
Right, right.
So you're like, where's the truth? You know, who I really am. And I use that power of knowing my life to completely transform where I am today.
Yeah, because, you know, it is an inside job, right? It's the voices we hear inside. So a couple things that you said about that. First of all, I love what your mom said about it's God's job to. So say that again, because I thought that was so powerful. It's not your job to.
It's not my job to repay evil with evil. It's God's job to repay, you know, those people. Right. So all we have to do is just forgive them and let God, allow God to do his job. Because as a people, we usually take responsibility for God and want to hurt people. As a direct descendant of the genocide survivors, my grandparents were beheaded in front of my grandparents' eyes. And of course, what you want to do, you want to anger, right? Your devastation, you want to repay for that murder that had happened, that was innocent. People have died, the children have died, the parents have died. But it takes the courage, it takes the resiliency, it takes this some kind of force and power from inside of you to become a bigger person and see it from a different perspective as God sees that. And if the entire world will operate the same way and will have this aha moment, not to hurt people the way they hurt you, and the evil will never cast out of evil, and anger will never diminish the anger, only love and grace and forgiveness, I think we will be in a different place today.
Yeah. You know, I love what you're talking about now. It's beautiful, by the way. And it reminds me of a colleague I need to introduce you to when we're finished, but because she is the golden light, right? That's it. She is the golden light. And, you know, but I want to talk about this because it's one thing for mom to say, and we're all listening to saying, yep, your mom said it to you. And of course she's your mom. But how do you internalize that? How do you, and I know this is part of what you like to talk about is mastering these circumstances and overcoming them, but what do you do for those that are listening and saying, you know, I'm being told I can't, right? I'm being told I'm not good enough. I'm being told I'm ugly. I'm being told I'm not the right color. I'm being told whatever. You know, what are some of the steps that you do? Because not everyone who's listening perhaps is Christian, right? Maybe they have their source, the universe, God, right? But how do we start really internalizing and changing that from a 99% external and a 1% internal, right, to a 99% internal, so that we don't listen to other people?
It's I had to discover for myself a few things. The first of all, we always say, why me? Why me? But if you ask the question, like, why not me? I think it will change your perspective. And I have also learned in my life that sometimes when people do not like in general to receive no, right? Every time you ask the question, every time you ask for help, every time you want to do something, you expect something positive in return. And I discovered that every no is not a death sentence.
Yeah.
It's not a verdict. It's not over. No means no, not simply now. Means next.
Yeah.
Because what's next is going to be better than this door that had closed in front of you. Because what's next may be magnificent. So, and if I would have grown up as a girl, having everything in front of me was accepted, was everything fine, I would be maybe spoiled and maybe would be so fragile. I would not have a resiliency to fight. I would not have this grind to fight for the life. I would not have these messages inside of me right now, so I can ignite somebody else. So everything that we go through, it's actually, there's a lesson into it. There is the grind, there is the power, there's the force that was given to you. Because even like God says, right, I will not give you anything more that you can handle, which means that he trusted all these adversities in my life because he knew that I can handle them and help somebody else to handle. And the next one part is forgiveness. People usually think that for only weak people forgive people. Mm-hmm. But forgiveness is taking the strong person to forgive somebody else. And forgiveness, it's not for others, because people usually mistaken. They think that unforgiveness, it's you're giving somebody else, you're going to hurt them. No, unforgiveness, it's just like a poison that when you drink in hopes that somebody else die. So it's you become cluttered, you become intoxicated inside of you. They live inside of you like rent-free. They poison you every single day. So it takes a courage for you to forgive someone, and it takes a bigger person to do so. So as soon as you start forgiving people who wronged you and allow God to do his part, because it's not your job, everything else changes. You feel lighter, you feel better, you feel stronger, you feel confident inside of you. And that's an inside job. It takes the courage, it takes some perseverance, and it takes some time to get to that point. First, you want to understand. Second, you want to be prepared to do so. And the third one, you just do it.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying. You know, I've heard about, you know, forgiveness quite a bit. And I just want to make sure that we're taking this to the next level to make sure that everyone understands, because it took a story about Oprah, right? For she walked around being very, very angry at this person, and how dare she do this to me? And, you know, I hope she this, that, and the other, you know, which you don't want to ever hope on anybody, but she was just angry. And she said she was walking down the street one day and she saw this person pull up in a, you know, we'll call it a limo, but pull up with a driver, get out of the car, you know, doing her thing. And Oprah just wanted to run over there and just strangle her, right? Like, you know what you did to me, and you did it. And I think what we need to talk about, and I'll let you talk about it, because if you can't tell, I have a sore throat, right? Like, you talk about it. But forgiveness is not going to the person and saying, I just want you to know you wronged me and now I'm forgiving you. That is not forgiveness. So can you share a little bit more about that? Because once she took it, and this is where it was an aha moment for me. Once she took it and said, wait a minute, she has no idea. And maybe
she has no idea.
And maybe she does have an idea that she wronged you, but it's not something that you have to take outside. is what you do inside. Can you share a little bit more about that so we get clarity of what true forgiveness is?
Absolutely. When I went to the beauty pageant and I won, my friend who didn't win and who was also participating, she got very jealous. Mm-hmm. Maybe upset. Maybe thought that she had the opportunity, didn't get it. I don't know what went in her life, but she went to the media and she shared with them the lies, and sharing that my dad had to sell his car to bribe the judges for me to win, even though we were poor at that time and we still had the car. But they bought the lie because they wanted some sensation around the story. And I was invited, into the a place of celebration with ambassadors, and it was a big thing to kind of honoring the winners, first, second, and so on. And I go there prepared, put the perfume, from France. I just received, the glamour clothes. I go there, and in a public, when people are there, they said, "Ilona, you do not belong here anymore. You're disqualified." And I said, "Why?" "That's it. You're gone. You're done." So you cannot imagine my state of brain at that moment. What is going on? What is happening? We have just, everything was finalized, and I go there and it's publicly was humiliated, embarrassed, just like that. So I leave, and as I was going home, I didn't even remember how I made it home. Only thing, I wanted to go home and just to tell my mom what's going on. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how I made it home. So she looked at me. She's like, "Ilona, what's going on?" I said, "Mom, I'm disqualified." And then she received the call, and somebody said that because, your husband sold the car and the judges were bribed for your daughter to win. And she said, "That's not true. We still have a car and we didn't bribe anybody. Ask the judges," right, "because it will be humiliation for them." Right. They're like high, judges there that they don't need to be bribed there. They have money. And and then we could not understand what happened. And then in 3 weeks, it still was inside of me boiling. In 3 weeks, we got a call from the organizer, and she said, he's like, "I'm very sorry that what had happened to your daughter." And my mom said, "Can you please tell me what's going on? Who told the lie?" And he said the name who said that to the media. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if he would have said a different name, I probably would not be that hurt. But when he said the name of my best friend, we were eating from the same plate, pretty much doing the same thing like a sisters. Right. And he pronounced this name, that was devastating. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, "I told you so," right? You don't want to hear that when your mom said, "I told you so," because my mom always says that, be careful to hang out with people who laugh at your face. Yeah. Because they can stop you. Be with the people that are telling you the truth that may hurt you today, but will be beneficial for you years to come. Mm-hmm. And that was a crush. I could not forgive her. I was angry. I was devastated. How did she dare to do that to me? But, it took a lot of work with my mom, but it's still my responsibility. It was my choice to receive it or not. Mm-hmm. And it took me years to forgive, but some person didn't realize that we hold grudges against them, that we hold unforgiveness towards them. And they have no idea. They live their life freely, happily. It's us who struggle, who battle, right, who have to pull ourselves up every single day from somebody that hurts you back. So as you said, that some person may not realize that they've done something wrong to you, but it's our internal job, because opinions are strong things. It's up to us whether we're going to receive those opinions in our lives or not. But praise God, this situation got resolved. I was invited back to the embassy, with a special driver, they come and picked me up, and they got restored my my winning title.
I was going to ask you. So she was runner up. Then did she automatically get your crown during that period?
No, she wasn't the runner-up. She didn't even make it to the club.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. Because that would even be scarier, right? It's like, oh, yes. You know, yeah.
Because she didn't even make a cut of semifinal or of the finals.
Right. So. And, you know, and the thing is, a lot of times when those things happen, especially in that situation, you would want a public apology. I want an apology. I want an apology. But I don't think that that's, you know, situation. Now, I have another question. I have a little follow-up question to that, because I'll tell stories like similar to what you're talking about, you know, is that I did forgive them. But the fact that you're bringing up the story, there's a little piece in you that still is, you know, I've forgiven, but I haven't forgotten. Yes.
People usually mistaking that forgiveness means forgotten. No, we need those stories in our lives so we don't go back to the same situation, because they serve us as a reminders. Some people think that when somebody cheats on somebody else, forgiveness means, thank you, honey, come back to me. No, that means thank you. I've learned my lesson. I become stronger and I will move on.
Right. With my life. And I won't forget, because forgotten. That'll help me stay in that same, the only word I can think of right now is superior, but that empowered position, right? They'll keep me in that empowered position.
It's the stories that help us to move on, to get us stronger. Because if, like I said, if all my life will be all like roses and petals and all these aromas, and I will never have those opportunities to grow from my relatives and how I've been rejected, I didn't forget that, but I've forgiven them.
Yeah.
You know, I use it as a story. I am happy right now because I know who I am now, and I made myself to, you know, to where God wants me to be. Aha moment. Yeah. It's a process that we build and work within ourselves. And it's a great journey. And you just have to know that it takes the guts to say no to people, places, and things. Yeah. And throughout my journey, I had to do so.
Yeah.
I had to say no to friends, no to people, no to places, no to my habits or even my dreams to become a person I am today. So detoxification from inside, from within, is a process that must take place.
Yeah, I love that, because one of the things that I say quite frequently is that I associate, work with, surround myself with people that complement and not complicate me and my life. I mean, to the extent that, you know, if there are patterns that are toxic or, you know, like not following up when they say they're going to follow up, those are patterns that can be toxic. You know, they're not holding true, you know, to one of my core values, you know, which is really important to me, right? That people have this accountability and this integrity in their lives. And, you know, I just learned that in life, I don't want to surround myself with people that complicate me, that make me feel bad, that say bad things, that don't, you know, that talk about other people, that, you know, all of these types of things. And I think, you know, you've said that as you've had to say no to people and remove them from your life, so that you can, you know, be in your own brilliance. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. What I want to talk about now is refueling your life passion. You know, we've just gotten through, you know, COVID, we hope, right? As we're recording this in 2022, you know, we're finally come out on the other side. Life is coming back to normal, you know, more than we've ever seen, you know, and hopefully it won't come back again. But, you know, I think a lot of people, their spark, and I'm always going to talk about sparks because that's my company, Kinetic Spark Consulting. I think their spark has gone out, right? That their passion has diminished, or maybe someone has found their passion during COVID. But regardless, how do we keep that passion going? What is your take on this inspiration and this passion? You know, from your perspective, how does it continue to move and grow every single day? Because people can get real excited and then it wavers, right? How do we keep it going?
I just interviewed a 10-year-old guy who was a TEDx speaker from India. And I asked him the same question, and he gave the very brilliant answer. He said, you need to learn to do this, you know, try the new things every day. And you will know whether you like it or not. And what if you like the trying new things, that becomes a little bit of your passion in your life. But I also add to this that people are afraid to go under the pressure. But pressure is a privilege, because only under pressure gold becomes the gold. You know, diamonds, when it becomes, it's not hurting people. It's just pressing on us to get these creative juices out of us that we've been sitting on for so long. And during the COVID was my aha moment in my life. When I went through the under pressure, everything was closed up, you know, mm-hmm. as a society, as a country, as a global, as a planet. And I have discovered my passions because I started to try the new things. And I'm like, this is it. This is what I want to do to the rest of my life.
Yeah. So what did you discover? What did you discover during that period of time? How did that shift? So pre-COVID, what were you doing? And post-COVID, what are you doing?
Pre-COVID, I was behind the cameras. I was doing my own running. I was administrator of the, you know, the big organization in here for like over 20 years and such. So I have discovered the magic of media. Mm-hmm. And I started to do my YouTube channel so that I can ignite the people who were locked in the COVID, because that was the only way to send the right message through the YouTube. I had no idea what I'm doing, how to hold the camera, what to say, the right funnels, none of that
right,
stuff.
Right.
But then I realized how much I love it. And I grew into it, and I opened my TV studio in Minneapolis and in Dallas as well. And my message is being spread, and I got a great support from the States. So I'm very passionate about being in camera, interviewing people, because I discovered that everyone has a story to tell. And they need to have this outlet to speak out so they can connect. And God actually told me that, to take him out of church and take him on the streets.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we know that's kind of what's happened, right? Is there's been a lot of that happening in the world. So yeah, I love it. I love that you, you know, found some, you know, a new passion that you wanted to explore. And, you know, and I think many of us found that during that period of time. And that's partly why this podcast exists. You know, it's funny. We started this podcast in April in 2020, but it was already in the works before COVID, right? It just happened to come out, but wow, the timing was so good, because, mm-hmm. you know, everything from success to significance, you know, and life after breaking through glass ceilings. So many of us, you know, had to come home and work. I mean, I've worked from home for a long time, but a lot of people came home and now they're going, do I want to go back to work? And they're breaking through these ceilings. Maybe I want to follow my passion, maybe, and I don't know what to do. And how do I, you know, make my mess be my mission, right, in life. And so there's a lot of change that's happening right now. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're trying to do out in the world, to share that with other people, you know, to help them get their message out, which is going to be a great segue to what I'm going to be asking you here in just a few minutes. But I do have another question for you. And that is that you have a doctorate degree in family Christian counseling and a PhD in Christian philosophy. So what are you doing with that doctorate right now? Are you providing family Christian counseling at this point, or is it more of a global effect that you're doing rather than a one-to-one? Is it one-to-many versus one-to-one now?
I like to work one-to-one because everybody has their own story and they're more open to this. But I wanted to use that as a power to help people. I know lots of people are afraid the word GOD right now, because some people get hurt by the churches and by Christians in general and such. And I have been pastor for over 20 years myself. So I see the pattern. I see the hurt. I see some devastation here and there that is happening. So I'm using that as my background, because I've learned so much on it. So I can leverage to open my own coaching. I don't like the word coaching. I like the word mentorship to others too. So I can be a guiding tool for them to see something that they've never seen in their lives. So they will be able to also leverage on those gifts that they have inside of themselves. They have been not successfully using so they'll be able to use their voice and be free to be themselves. And God is amazing what he does in our lives. And I want everyone else to see the value that he put inside of everyone. And as I said, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. They have their God's thumbprint on them with his word says approved. So they don't have to do anything to prove anything to anyone anymore about their worth and about their values, because God already did his work. It's
right.
done.
You
it's
are
finished.
Good enough. Right. You
yes,
are.
Yes. There.
Enough.
It's it. Not that. That's it. Took me a while for to realize that I don't have to prove anything to anyone anymore. My worth and who I am. I am done. It's finished. I am unapologetically God's masterpiece, and I love this title that he had given to me.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I think that so many people are trying to be like other people on Facebook and like other people on Instagram. And, you know, it's funny. I have it over here, but I can't reach it right now. But I have one of these little boxes, you know, that we have, like this one is "You Are My Sunshine" because my aunt used to sing it to me and I sing it to my granddaughter, my only sunshine. But I have one of these that says, be yourself. Everybody else is taken.
Yep.
Right? And I think that is super powerful.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to make this shift into something that as we finish up our time here, that you are really, really good at, and that is helping people get on TED stages. Whether it's TED Talks or TEDx Talks, that's fine. You know, either way is fine, but you're really, really good at helping people get on these stages. So can we talk just for a few minutes about what it is that you do that is uniquely different, so that if someone's listening and saying, oh my goodness, now I want to get on those stages, what is it that you do that is uniquely different to help people get on these stages who want to share?
I think empowering them, yes. I believe that I empower people to realize that they have a story that is worth sharing. Mm-hmm. Because some people have doubts in themselves. Is my story enough? Is my story good enough to be written, told, shared, spoken on massive medias? And that's what I'm tapping into, their potentials. And because there's over 9 billion people in the world, do you think their story is not going to be echoing somebody else's life story in one way or another? Of course it will. And sometimes they get fear, they get doubts. Oh, I have all the same story as somebody else. But I'm using that to leverage on their fear to take them to see the faith and the freedom, so their story will make a difference on somebody else's life. Their approach, the way of they're going to be sharing it with their personality, with their charisma, with their voice, it will be different than somebody else will share. And sometimes it does take more than 7 times to hear the same story before we kind of remember that and actually starting to, you know, using that. So. And I removed that fear from their lives and starting them to see, hey, there is a light in the end of tunnel. And your message can be different and can make a power.
Well, and I think, you know, because I know a lot of people who have the same background that I do, but they don't teach what I teach. They don't speak about what I speak. They don't mentor people about what I mentor, you know, and yet they have that same background, that similar background. I think the other thing too is that I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't really have a bad background. You know, this isn't about, you know, my story happens to be yucky, but not everybody's story is bad, right? Some people were raised in great families and had everything, you know, in their lives, but they have stories too. And I want to make sure that people hear this, is it isn't an either or. It's not, you have to have a really bad childhood, a bad situation, a bad thing to create a story. You can have good things in your life that create stories too.
Absolutely. People usually think that I have to go through adversities, you know, I have to go through the pain and devastation in order for us to teach somebody else so they can hear me and that I can get their attention. But you're absolutely right. People may see their lives through the different lenses, and we all need the stories. Sometimes the powerful stories with the positive upbringing, the life is good, may influence somebody else to maybe appreciate what they have or what they don't have, so they will get hungry enough to get it. So it's they never know unless they try it. to get with their stories on. I've heard the guy who was talking about the chicken coop, how he built the chicken coop, and he made people cry.
Yeah.
Just sharing the story about chicken. I'm like, how in the world that happened? So just guys, if you have a stories to share, whether it's a chicken coop or about the frog that you have found, you know, in the backyard or the leaves that are falling, you know, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important. Okay. So story is one thing. So you help people with the story, but then you also are part of TED, right? So that you understand what the application process is like, et cetera. Right. Correct.
Yep. Yes.
So I don't want to go into detail about that because, you know, if people want to be on a TED stage and they can reach out to you. And so let's talk about that. What is the best way to reach out to you?
Well, I'm on the social media and, that's the best way that I usually am in, on the LinkedIn as Ilona Barunakova. So that will be the best way to reach out to me.
Great. And I know I have those links, so we'll make sure that those links get put in here as well so that we have them. And so if they are interested in TED, they can go there. If they're interested in your mentorship, if they're interested in just having, you know, proximity to you to learn more about what you're about, then certainly they could hop on there. So the last question I want to ask you is, well, there's actually two questions. One is there a quote that is a mantra for you that you live by? So that'll be one. One is the quote. And the other is, what would you like to leave with our listeners?
With the quote, this is what I usually have discovered, and I absolutely love it. It's so true to who I am right now. The quote states that you only have one life, so live it twice. Mm. That's what I do. And what I would love to also leave with our listeners with another quote of that I absolutely also resonate and love. It's a quote of Coco Chanel. And she said this, there's some people who have money and there's some people who are rich. And for us to discover why we are rich for, it takes guts and perseverance and life journey. Because I'm rich today because I have something that money cannot buy. And if somebody out there can, on a daily basis, just discover all of these values or things in your life that you have that no money in the world can buy, then you are rich. You're going to wake up rich. You're going to go to bed rich. And everything else will come to your life one way or another.
Yeah, that is so powerful because, you know, we know about the book Think and Grow Rich.
Yes.
And a lot of people that I run across that don't know about it, that aren't in the world that we're in, right, of personal and professional development, think that it's a book that says, if I just think, I will grow rich. Money. Monetizing it, but it's really about having a rich relationship, you know, a rich life. It's, you know, it's funny because one of the things that, well, the thing that I speak on is living a life of luxury, but it's not the luxury you think. It's the luxury of designing a life that fulfills you. The luxury of choosing to take a nap if you want, choosing to spend time with your loved ones, choosing to do whatever you want to do. That's true luxury. So it's very similar to what you're talking about. I absolutely love it. And of course, it's God-driven. I'm very faith forward, right? So it's all God-driven because that's my number one value, right? Is my faith.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, anything else you'd like to leave our guests with?
I just want them to know that not to base their opinions on their identity on somebody else's opinion. Mm. I want you to know how wonderful you are, how strong you are, how unique you are. There's no one like you. No one will be like you. No one is like you. So please leverage on that and wake up every day thinking and thanking yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you pretty much say that I don't love you, God, because you are His direct likeness and image. So when you look at yourself on the mirror, you need to smile and say, God, I just love you. You look at me. I am amazing. I look just like you. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. And that will probably help them to become a champion in their lives.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great reminder for every one of us every day. right? Every single day to do that. Well, I definitely can see your light, and I'm saying it loudly, right? And not through my teeth. I definitely can see your light. And I want to say thank you so much for being on our show today. I see you, I hear you, and what a gift you are to this world. So thank you so much for what you're doing. And I just want to ask everybody who's listening here is please, please follow Ilona. Use the links that we have on the bottom and bring yourself into her light and see what happens to your life along the way. So thank you again so much for being our guest here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you. And I just want to remind everyone, please give us a great rating and write a review. Even if it's just a couple of sentences, keep the reviews coming in. We love knowing what you like about this podcast. And until next time, I will see you on Success to Significance.
You've been listening to Success to Significance with Jen Duplessis, the number one podcast for people wanting to give more value and make an impact. Loved this episode? Be sure to subscribe right now at www.jenduplessis.com/S2S for more stories, strategies, and thoughts to help you gain significance and success. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Join us next week for another breakthrough episode. Thank you for listening.